The Guardian. Science Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace's award-winning templates are the most beautiful way to present your ideas online. See for yourself. Head to squarespace.com and enter the offer code GUARDIANSCIENCE to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Squarespace. Make your next move. Make your next website.
You open your eyes, but all you see is a scene of blurred faces and patches of red. You blink and try again, but nothing improves. You are a newborn.
Charles Nelson, tell me more about the research that you're doing at Harvard University on infant development.
And while this is your first impression of the world, new colours will soon begin to appear, and the world will take on a new sharpness.
When it comes to synapses, the connections between brain cells, that pruning after birth is largely driven by experience.
To celebrate the launch of First Impressions from the virtual reality team here at The Guardian, this week we ask, what happens to our vision in the first 6 months of life? What capabilities are we born with? And what insights can infant colour vision tell us about human cognition?
Newborn babies, there's only been a few studies on this, but it appears as if they do have some colour vision, even though it's fairly limited.
Even if you could present their brain somehow with a fully resolved image, they wouldn't really understand it because they don't know what they're looking at.
Colour is really a testing ground, and we know that it's not a unique example. So a lot of the findings that we have with colour categorisation are also akin to other types of categorisation.
So I think that makes the puzzle more complicated, but also more interesting. It means that infants already have some notions that they're coming to the world with.
I'm Nicola Davis. This is Science Weekly.
Hang on a second, I'll just say, Max, apparently I'm not very loud. Is that any better?
That's better.
To help me get my head around exactly what newborns can see, I spoke to Anna Franklin, Professor of Visual Perception and Cognition at the University of Sussex and leader of the Sussex Baby Lab.
So Anna,
I spoke with Anna via Skype and started by asking her for a bit of background.
Sort of from birth up to, I don't know, what, 2 or 3 years?
Well, there's been a lot of research investigating how babies see colour. It's actually a myth that newborn babies see in black and white. So newborn babies, there's only been a few studies on this, but it appears as if they do have some colour vision, even though it's fairly limited. And then by about 1 month old, infants are able to detect large patches of colour when there are certain hues. So, for example, a really large patch of red, an infant would be able to detect. Then by about 2 months, there's quite a lot of evidence that infants can discriminate red-green differences in colour. And that's important because the red-green difference relates to a subsystem of colour vision that's a distinct neural pathway. Infants at that age, under some circumstances, can also make blue-yellow discriminations of colour, although their ability to do that is less. And it's generally thought that to be able to tell differences between colours that differ in how blue or yellow they are, then that's most reliably shown from about 3 to 4 months. And even then, the colours have to be really intense and really saturated for the infants to be able to see them.
I see. And then as they get older, beyond sort of 4 months or so, everything just improves? So is that, you know, they just get better and better? Or
yeah, so once infants are what we call trichromatic, so trichromatic means that there are the three receptors in the retina that enable us to see colour, they're fully functioning. Once they've got that trichromatic colour vision, then their ability to see colour develops pretty linearly throughout infancy and childhood. And so, for example, children will become more and more sensitive to the differences between colours, and colours will need to be less intense for them to be able to see them.
And so let's talk a bit about the mechanism behind colour vision. You mentioned there about sort of when we become trichromatic and the different photoreceptors in our eyes. So can we talk a little bit about that? What actually is behind colour vision in the first place, and how we tell different colours apart? Because you talked as well about red, green and blue, yellow. So let's just talk about what's going on there.
So in the retina, which is at the back of the eye, there are cells which are photoreceptors. So they detect basically light, wavelengths of light. And there's different types of photoreceptors. They're called cones. So there's cones that are sensitive to long wavelengths of light, so kind of reddish light, to medium wavelengths of light, so greenish light, and short wavelengths of light, which is kind of a bluish light. And these cones enable us to detect those wavelengths of light, and then the signals from those photoreceptors are compared and combined in order for us to be able to see the full spectrum of colour. So, for example, the long and medium wavelength cone signals are combined to give us what's called a red-green subsystem of colour vision. And this subsystem has its kind of distinct neural pathway from the retina at the back of the eye through to a structure called the lateral geniculate nucleus, which is a kind of club sandwich-like structure in the brain. And then the signals are then relayed to the visual area of the brain, the visual cortex, which is at the back of the head. And from there, the cortex is able to process those signals and enable us to have a conscious experience of what we call colour.
But as any parent will be able to tell you, trying to pin down exactly what a baby experiences without language can be a tricky task. Luckily, researchers like Anna have developed a couple of ingenious approaches.
We have a number of tricks up our sleeve for working out how well babies can see colour, ranging from pretty basic techniques such as preferential looking. So here, for example, you could show a coloured square on the left side of a computer monitor and look to see whether the infant looks orients towards the left, and then change the location and keep changing the location and see whether the infant's able to follow where the square moves, whether it moves to the left or right. And that technique was used in a lot of early studies on colour vision and has proved to be very simple and very effective. There are other methods. So, for example, one that we use a lot in the Sussex Baby Lab is recording infants' eye movements with a special camera, which is called an eye tracker. And by using this eye tracker, we can record exactly where an infant looks and see how long they take to see something and how long they look at it for. And so we've designed a task where you show a coloured circle on a coloured background. And you'd only be able to see the circle if you've got some way of telling the difference between the colour of the circle and the colour of the background. And so we can record infants' eye movements and see how long it takes them to see the colour difference, to fixate the circle on the background, and how well they do that.
Both of these, however, are quite indirect. But there's another option.
Hello, back again.
Excellent. Right. This is Alex Wade.
So my name is Alex Wade. I'm a professor in the psychology department of the University of York.
We spoke with Alex via Skype this week, and he started by telling us.
So the other thing you can do is put an electrode cap on them, and this doesn't hurt them. It's just measuring the electrical activity given off by their brain as it works. And if you put this electrode cap on their head, you hold it on there with so maybe with salty water and a little electric band, you can measure the activity coming from the baby's brain while it looks at stuff. And an excellent trick to do this is to flicker the thing on the screen. So if you want to know if a baby can see a pattern that's particularly fine or particularly coarse, you flicker the pattern on the screen, and from your electrodes you'll measure a flickering electrical response that has the same frequency as the pattern. And now if you change the pattern so it becomes invisible, that electrical activity will go away. that method's much better in a way, because you don't rely on the baby behaving in a particular way. It just has to look at the screen. And often in labs that are doing these experiments, someone will dangle a little bell or something interesting in front of the screen to get the baby to look in the right place. Then this flickering will happen on the screen, and on the EEG system that you're monitoring, you'll see these little waves coming up from the headset. And it's a way of measuring the baby's visual system without having them to getting them to do anything at all.
We've already heard that colour vision improves from birth to 6 months and beyond. But what about our ability to see the world in focus? Something I put to Alex.
It is pretty much one big hazy field. So we talk about visual acuity, the resolution of how you can see. And for babies, it's pretty poor. So everything is very blurred. And they don't really understand, even if you could present their brain somehow with a fully resolved image, they wouldn't really understand it because they don't know what they're looking at. So it would, in many senses, it's a booming, buzzing confusion, as it's been described.
And so how does that change over the weeks and months? Because things change quite rapidly, don't they?
Yeah, so vision comes in stages. And in fact, the later stages take a very long time to develop. But the early stages, the stages of sort of learning to see colour and learning to see basic form, happen relatively quickly. So the first thing that you get is some sort of spatial acuity in your black and white vision. You're able to see some sort of forms. You can resolve relatively thick bars. You might be able to resolve a face if it was close up to you. And then the other colors start coming in. So you start to see red and green. You start to be able to distinguish things by their color. And finally, there's a third color system, or yellow and blue. And by the end of about 6 months, you have more or less adult levels of color vision and visual acuity resolution.
And sort of talk me through, there's another step, which is where you have your vision becoming stereoscopic, is that right?
That's right, yeah. So you have two eyes, most people have two eyes, and in most babies, but not all, those two eyes present the same image, more or less, to the brain. They're slightly offset, and that's how you can eventually see depth. So all the 3D movies and VR and everything, including the Guardian VR, relies on the ability to present slightly different images to the left and right eye. And if you look at something right now, you hold your finger in front of your face and slightly offset and look at it just through one eye or the other, it'll move around. And those are the two different images that your left and right eye are getting. So learning to use those two different images, and from the differences between the left and the right eye, working out where something is in 3D space is quite tricky. And it takes the brain a little while to work out how to do that. It takes months and months. So at about 6 months, you have some stereo vision, and that stereo vision continues to improve and improve. It's possible that it keeps on improving all the way through to the age of about 10. So we don't quite know when you reach fully adult levels of stereo acuity, but it takes longer to mature than, for example, just color vision.
Within 6 months, babies are able to see the world close to the acuity we have as adults. But as alluded to by Alex, whether they consciously recognise the objects and people around them is questionable. Hello? Hello? Is that Ali?
It is. Hi there.
Hi, Ali. Hi, it's Nicola here.
But why do we want to know what babies can see? And how that changes.
Yes, I had porridge and a cup of tea, which was very nice.
This is Ali Granderson.
I'm Dr. Ali Granderson. I'm a senior lecturer in psychology, and I'm the director of the Surrey Baby Lab.
I spoke to Ali via Skype this week, and she started by telling me why it's important to understand colour when it comes to infant vision.
So we've been doing some really interesting work looking at the role of colour in object recognition. So we're really intrigued about infants' experience of the world and colour being an important aspect of that. So we want to know, at a very young age, do infants actually sort of bind colour to objects? So do they use colour as one technique for identifying and discriminating between different objects? So we've done some really interesting work on that, looking at young infants and their perception of faces. And that's really just an example of a stimulus that would be really familiar to infants and would have a specific colour as well that they may or may not be aware of. And that's something we're really interested to find out. So in one of our experiments, we looked to see if infants look longer at faces that are sort of naturally coloured compared to unusually coloured faces, so faces that might be blue or green or purple, for example, or grey, so sort of achromatic faces. And that can be a really helpful technique to tell us whether infants actually discriminate between the different colours that the faces are being shown in.
One question that seems rather interesting, if a little abstract, is when is it that babies learn that a colour is like a property of an object? When do they know that yellow is yellow, I suppose, in a sense?
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting question. And I don't know that I've got a straight answer for you. I mean, certainly the work that we've been doing looking at colour and object association and colour and object recognition can tell us about that. But it's not until after the first year of life that infants would have that understanding so far. And we haven't yet pinned down that exact age, but that's really exciting work that we're looking to be doing in the future.
What Ali hints at is one of the most fascinating aspects of research into colour vision, essentially what it can tell us about cognition more generally, something we'll be hearing about more after the break.
It appears as if infants' memory for colour is treating certain colours that belong to the same category as if they're the same kind of thing, even though that they can actually discriminate those colour differences.
We'll also hear about some of the potential ramifications of this work.
The idea that the infant's really, you know, tabula rasa or a blank slate, I think the psychologists have really demonstrated that that doesn't fit at all. So infants have quite complex knowledge already about, you know, what's an agent, how physical causation works. So lots of quite rich conceptual knowledge that they then are building on to become language specific.
We'll be right back.
Create a beautiful website with Squarespace's all-in-one platform. There's nothing to install, patch or upgrade, ever. Head to squarespace.com and enter the offer code GUARDIANSCIENCE to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Make your next move. Make your next website.
Enjoying this special episode of Science Weekly? Then make sure to check out the new virtual reality experience from our team here at The Guardian. It's called First Impressions and was created using the latest research on vision in infants. The virtual reality film allows you to experience and interact with the world from the point of view of a baby. To find out more about the project and experience it yourself, head over to theguardian.com/VR. Welcome back to this special edition of Science Weekly. I'm Nicola Davis. Before the break, we heard from both Anna Franklin and Ali Grandison about how colour vision develops in infants. First they see reds and greens, and then blues and yellows. We also heard from Alex Wade about how this is coupled with improvements in acuity and stereoscopic vision, meaning that by the time we're 6 months old, our visual world has developed apace. So Anna, talk me through. But as Alex pointed out, quite what babies make of what they see is another matter. It's a question Anna Franklin and her team at the Sussex Baby Lab are delving into.
And the main question of this project is to understand where colour categories come from. So colour is a physical continuum. There's millions and millions of discriminable colours, yet we group these colours into categories such as red, green, blue, yellow, and we give these categories terms. And there's been much debate about where those colour categories come from. Do we divide up the colour spectrum in an arbitrary fashion to create categories such as red or green? Or are those categories hardwired into our visual system somehow? And we've been investigating that by multiple approaches, but one of them is to look at infants and to see whether infants also divide up the colour spectrum into discrete categories.
So can you tell me a bit about how you do that? What sort of experiment do you do to find out if babies can understand a concept of a category or have a concept of a category, I suppose?
The main method that we use to look at infant categorisation is a method called the novelty preference method. And here what you do is you show an infant a colour repeatedly. So you show it to the left and the right of the kind of central point of where they're looking. And you just keep on showing it until the infant familiarises themselves with that colour. And they, as they see it more and more, they'll look less and less. It becomes less interesting to them. And then you change one of the colours for a new colour. And we look to see whether that change of colour reinstates their looking. Does it grab their attention? And if it does, then it shows that infants are able to treat those two colours as if they're different. What we find is that if we familiarise an infant to, say, a green, if we then pop in a new green, once they're familiarised to the old green, then that doesn't grab their attention. It doesn't reinstate their looking. Whereas if we pop in a colour from a different category, such as a blue, then that does. So it appears as if infants' memory for colour is treating certain colours that belong to the same category as if they're the same kind of thing, even though that they can actually discriminate those colour differences.
Based on infant gaze behaviour, they were able to show that babies can categorise colours, even though they don't have the language that we adults have. But what happens during language acquisition? Ali Granderson again.
And that's of interest to us because it taps into wider philosophical debates about whether the words that we have for things help us understand or perceive the world. So in looking at infants without language, that can tell us an awful lot about that role of language. So we know that infants at a very young age, before they actually have words for certain colours, will categorise colours in a very similar way to how adults do, which might tell us that there is some kind of inbuilt mechanism of categorisation going on. But as you suggest, that shifts over the course of development. And that seems to be tied into the point at which children start to learn their colour terms, which is a really, really fascinating finding. So we have a change in perception around that time. And of course, that's there's a lot of individual differences there with individual children, but that's happening sometimes between sort of 2 and 4 years of age.
So, Ali, am I right in saying that when you're a baby, it seems to be the right hemisphere of your brain that's sort of responsible almost for categorising colour, and then that shifts to the left, and that happens as you gain these language terms?
Absolutely. And that's a really, really fascinating finding. So we know that things that are present in our visual world are processed by the hemispheres differentially. So things that appear in the left visual field, or the kind of the left side of our visual world, are processed by the right hemisphere of the brain. And it seems to be that colour categories fall into that category for infants. So infants are using the right hemisphere of their brain when they're categorising colours. That then shifts quite radically. So as adults, we use the left hemisphere when we're categorising colours. And that shift appears to be tied down to that point at which toddlers and young children are learning their colour words, which is really, really intriguing, and links into previous suggestions that the reason behind this left hemisphere dominance in adults might be to do with the language centres typically being on the left. And so we're using words that we have for colour to structure the categorisation, and that the categories are really relying on language.
These incredible results regarding the categorization of colour tap into a broader picture of the development of human cognition and the role of language. This becomes highly relevant when one considers the huge range of languages around the world.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, is that Asifa?
Yes, it is.
This is Asfa Majid.
I'm Asfa Majid. I'm from Glasgow, but I work in Nijmegen in the Netherlands.
I think sometimes Skype is a bit funny for the first minute, and then it sort of...
Asfa was one of many researchers in the field who was fascinated by the results from Anna's colour categorisation studies. So Asfa, you've done some research on how babies categorise colour as well. Can you tell me why we want to be looking at this? What's inherently fascinating about it?
My interest in it comes from the fact that there's a lot of variation across cultures in the colour categories that people have. So we assume that colour categories are just out there in the world, so things like red, green and blue. But if you investigate other languages worldwide, you see that they categorise colours in quite different ways. So around a third of the world's languages only have a single word for green and blue colours. Anthropologists sometimes call that GRU. And so the fact that there's so much variation across cultures then suggests maybe we learn our colour categories from language, which is what people have suggested. And if so, then we wouldn't expect babies to have colour categories at all.
That was the hypothesis. And using the same approach as Anna Franklin, the results Asfa found surprised her.
Yes, absolutely surprising. And to be frank, I was sceptical before I started. So, you know, this is the part of the scientific method is replication. And so when Anna's work first came out, she used a number of different paradigms, some of which had been criticized because there could be other explanations for the results. But I think this particular paradigm, it was very hard to imagine what else could cause the results. And so that was what led to me trying to replicate the finding, which we did. So we used a slightly older set of kids than Anna had used, so 9 months old instead of 4 months old. And we looked at a different colour boundary as well. And indeed, it looks like the Dutch infants that we tested also seem to be sensitive to these categories.
One of the questions I have there is that, I mean, they still see these different colours, right? So what sort of effect does this language have? I mean, does it matter that people use different or split colours up differently in different cultures?
I think it, you know, the question is always what are categories for, right? And so they're helpful for communication, so language internally, but they're also helpful for remembering things. Perhaps they're also associated with preferences. I think the evidence there is a little bit less clear, but so I think they do influence perception in the moment. So people do think that differences across category boundaries are bigger than they actually are. So there's a distortion in our perceptual system. So that means actually the GRU speakers are seeing the world more veridically than we are. So we're in our language, we're introducing a difference where there isn't one in the psychophysical world. So that's in the moment. But I think for memory, for reasoning, if, you know, we're going to have a funeral, say, and we're going to wear black, then what counts as black in your, you know, what kind of reasoning can you do? What substitutes for one another? All of these aspects of life, I think it does matter for. But of course, as a scientist, I'm just interested in the variation in and of itself, because what does it tell us about the human mind and how we are the way that we are? And I think, you know, that's always a fascinating question.
Sentiments shared by Ali Granderson.
Colour is really a testing ground, and we know that it's not a unique example. So a lot of the findings that we have with colour categorisation are also akin to other types of categorisation. So we've done some really interesting work with 7-month-old infants using EEG, or kind of facilities that we can tell what's going on in a baby's brain when they're looking at and categorising colour. And we get very similar findings in the patterns of categorisation in colour to what's found in categorisation of cats and dogs, for example, so other kinds of visual types of categorisation, and also phoneme categorisation as well, so even auditory categorisation. So that suggests that it's about categorisation much more broadly. So as I said, colour is a brilliant tool really for helping us find out about much broader questions. With sort of
Noam Chomsky's idea of a... And questions don't come much broader than the age-old blank slate debate. Asfa Majid again.
I think it fits quite well with what we know about infant cognition elsewhere now. So I think the idea that the infant's really, you know, tabula rasa or blank slate, I think the psychologists have really demonstrated that that doesn't fit at all. So infants have quite complex knowledge already about, you know, what's an agent, how physical causation works. So lots of quite rich conceptual knowledge that they then are building on to become language specific. So I think that makes the puzzle more complicated, but also more interesting. It means that infants already have some notions that they're coming to the world with, and then they have to figure out how their specific community does it and get from their, you know, beginning notions to the specific languages.
Special thanks this week to Anna Franklin, Alex Wade, Ali Grandison, and Asfa Majid. If you want to find out more about this topic, check out this episode's description on the Guardian website. You'll find a link to an article I wrote after visiting the University of Sussex Baby Lab. There'll also be a link to the Guardian's latest endeavour into virtual reality, First Impressions. I'm Nicola Davis. This is Science Weekly.
The use it or lose it is one principle. Neurons that fire together, wire together is the second principle.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.